commencing countdown.
3, 2, 1.
This is the Contracting Experience. Connecting government contracting professionals to the world around them through conversations with acquisition influencers, insights into evolving hot topics, and sharing lessons learned from the field.
Welcome, podcast listeners. On this episode of The Contracting Experience, we sit down with Major General Alice Trevino, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Contracting, Office of the Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics. In other words, Major General Trevino is the head of contracting for the Department of the Air Force, where she leads a highly skilled staff of mission-focused business leaders and acquisition change agents to deliver $825 billion in United States Air Force and Space Force platforms. Additionally, she is the contracting functional manager for over 8,000 professionals who execute programs worth $70 billion annually for the Department of the Air Force. Major General Trevino comes to us today to provide updates on the DAF contracting flight plan, the Great Power Competition, Air Force re-optimization, as well as some insight into the person behind the position and a glimpse into the day in the life of a two-star general at the Pentagon. Welcome, Major General Trevino. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Rob. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm so excited. And it's my favorite time of year as well. End of fiscal year. Happy September. Thank you for welcoming me back to the great, lovely, the contracting experience.
All right, ma'am. Excellent. Yeah, so as you mentioned, we've had the pleasure of hosting you on the podcast a few times now, and no pressure here at all, but the last time you were with us, episode 51, earlier this year, that generated over 9,000 downloads, which I believe is the most we've seen from any one particular episode. We usually average about 2,000. So it's great to have you back with us, and we'll see if we can break that 9,000 download mark once again. Are you ready to dive in?
I'm ready to dive in, Rob.
All right, ma'am. So we're on the home stretch of closing out another year. Maybe it's me, but they seem to go faster than they used to. I don't know how that is possible. But when you were last on the podcast in January, you discussed the 2024 DAF contracting flight plan and how we support the Great Power Competition. So I'm sure our listeners are well familiar at this point with our four lines of effort, the 11 objectives, the 29 key results. And as we enter the last quarter of 2024, how are we doing? Any big surprises, any major challenges we had to overcome along the way?
I would say that what has set us up for success is that just by approaching everything with a change agent mindset, as we go into the end of fiscal year 24 and then starting fiscal year 25, our ability to also just look at the dynamic changes, volatility, the uncertainty, the complexity of everything that goes on with acquisition, that change agent mindset, and then using our alignment, prioritization, and simplification as a kind of a rubric to set our the way that we approach a bunch of these changes has really set us up for success. So our fiscal year 24 flight plan, we came on the heels of fiscal year 23. Throughout the last year, we have been re-optimizing for Great Power Competition to make sure that we're aligned with Secretary Kendall's guidance, with the Air Force Chief of Staff, with the Chief of Space Operations. And it has been a not only a year of change and with change, but also a year to leverage the talents of our mission-focused business leaders and our contracting professionals. And I'm just really excited to kind of use that as the foundation. And, you know, Rob, I love this word that you have penned a Robservation. So I'm just excited about talking more about your Robservations and then taking our change agents to a whole new level, building on the success of the past and then transforming where we need to.
Okay, ma'am. Yeah, that's great. And again, our office, we had the privilege of supporting a few of those KRs along the way. So a big focus, my big observation last year was a huge focus on digital, right? With AI, yes, and different teams and different groups and just the bringing out all these digital tools and with the goal of, you know, enabling our workforce to work more efficiently, yes, you know, using technology for our benefit instead of evil, if you will.
Yeah. I always say we are high demand, low density. So if we're not helping our workforce be more efficient and able to leverage the talents that they have at their fingertips more quickly, then we're not looking at the way that we need to take care of our workforce the best way that we can. And I absolutely, I'm on the digital train. You know, we had digital acquisition transformation was one of our new KRs last year. And this year we're going to be building upon that. And I know we're going to get into the flight plan, but yeah, if you're not thinking through what we're doing to change digital acquisition, even on some of our historical and legacy contracts, you know, it's an untapped potential on where we can move forward.
Right. Absolutely. Then is it too late for people to sign up and contribute towards some of those 2024 objectives? Are there any particular lines of effort where we could really use some more hands on deck, if you will?
No, it's not too late. It's never too late. And I think there's a couple things, you know, we had our 29 key results from last year. And as we go into 2025, you know, a lot of those key results are going to be familiar because you think sometimes you're done, but sometimes you are done at one stage, but it's only the tip of the iceberg. And sometimes, you know, as they come full circle, we realize that we need to have more awareness across, as you said, our 8,000 strong workforce. And, you know, BizInt is one of those. So business intelligence is one of the key results that we're asking for assistance in. And that goes along with great power competition, reoptimizing for great power competition. The secretary has said, you know, we need to make sure that we are paying attention to our adversaries, that we are optimizing the Air Force and the Space Force so that they can deter our adversaries and make it that they're not even going to, you know, they're not going to do something that we as Air Force and Department of Defense leaders, we would identify as a risk, you know, mission risk and a vulnerability. And this one in contingency contracting, as we are contributing to operational contract support and our role of a multifunctional, because everybody has a place in operational contract support, but we in contracting are so out front of how do we help others. And so we created this BizInt tool. It's an application that pulls together, you know, it's a business intelligence tool, and it really feeds into our A4 community for logistics, IT, the information technology realm. It's really to help all of DOD, all of the combatant commands, not just the Air Force. And it is critical for reoptimizing GPC, but it's only helpful if you use it. And so just kind of, you know, what's in it for me, I'm always thinking through of how to help, you know, be the decoder ring. Is some folks that if you're on an exercise or a tabletop exercise or a deployment, you are seeing what's in the market while you're downrange. You know, our log planners see what is available downrange. And we want our contingency contracting officers, but our mission partners, our loggies, We want our joint partners to be able to use Vizint and fill in that information. So it's not just being a part of that KR, but it's also using Vizint and putting that information so it's relevant. I mean, I got feedback where somebody said, I don't want to use Vizint because it's not relevant. And so then they didn't use it. I'm like, that's the exact opposite of where you should be. You should be using it so that it becomes relevant. And then if you notice that you're at a location where it isn't relevant information, then you be the change that we want to see in the world. You be the change agent that makes it better for the next person instead of, you know, not taking that opportunity. But when we do that, and just, you know, some people don't know what Vizint is for, but Vizint can help us save on planning costs. It reduces the strategic lift requirements that we have. If I am, you know, planning with the with Transportation Command or with Air Mobility Command, how many C-17s I need to send down range and how many pallets I need to put on those C-17s, if I know what my local commercial substitutes are offering, that is huge with airlift reductions, fuel reductions, flight hour reductions, and really giving our combatant commanders trade space for what they need and will want to use in the event that we aren't, you know, there's great power competition and there's also great power conflict. And as I said earlier, we want to deter great power conflict. We want to compete at this level. We want to make sure that our adversaries know that you know, deterrence is the key. Don't even pass that line. And we have to be planning for it all the time. But decision makers will ultimately accept risks or not on what they outsource and buy locally. And so if our contingency contracting officers are putting in that information in Vizint and our joint partners are putting that information in, then it will be as most relevant and up-to-date as possible. And then that's going to impact the decisions that we're making and that our combatant commands are making, you know, for even in short, do we send 4,000 C-17 equivalents downrange or do we send, you know, just 10% less? And, you know, that is making sure that we're getting the supplies and equipment that we need and using that space more wisely for the things that are going to be our priorities. So that's a huge one that we would love for folks to participate in and just kind of keep that up to space or keep that up to, you know, up to date as fast as possible. And so excited as we go into fiscal year 25 to say that we got end of year funding for that. And so the global research tools that we put in there and the business development will continue into 2025 because of all the hard work that DOD, Joint Staff J4, the Air Force A4, and the our community, AQC, AFICC are doing together. So it's a huge collaborative win.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Excellent. And I'll put in a little bit more description on Vizint in the notes section of this podcast. If folks are looking on where to find it, and we will talk about DATE, our digital acquisition tools environment, which is located on Air Force Contracting Central. So if nothing else, you can always find it that way. And it's one of those tools that, as you mentioned, it learns from inputs. So as you input it, that it just makes the system better for everybody. And it's like you always say, ma'am, it's what do you know or what have you learned? Who else needs to know it? And have you shared that? And if not, what's your plan? This is a great plan on sharing that information that you discover on in those contingencies, right? A lot of times you don't have Google to tell you, you know, tractor repair near you, right? So exactly. We need to use these other tools, and that's exactly what it's for. And as you mentioned, it's only as good as the inputs people provide. So if you learn something, share something, this is a great platform to share that. And again, not only saving lives, saving dollars, increasing better buying power, helping us out with a great power competition. So great stuff, ma'am. Moving on, can you give us any insight into your vision? You shared a little bit, but the 2025 DAF contracting flight plan. I know that's probably well in the molding phase. Can you share any insights into that?
Absolutely. So it's kind of cool is the way that our flight plan, you know, is laid out, you know, making sure we have building our mission focused business leaders, tools, not rules, our innovative business processes and contracting processes, and then everything that we do for expeditionary contracting as a joint force capability. And 2 years ago in our 2022 worldwide, I had kind of written up some notes of things that I wanted to reinforce. And I stated at the worldwide, you know, our contracting professionals, again, I said earlier, high demand, low density. But we need to invest in our contracting capability. And we all have, you know, understanding what our core competencies are. And one of those core competencies that nobody else can do is our pricing and our ability for cost analysis and price analysis. And we have pricers, and that is a specialty. You know, there are, we have personnel that love pricing and they dive deep into it. But not every team across operational systems and enterprise contracting has dedicated pricers. And because they are even more high demand and low density, we even have to have an ability to say, okay, like dollar thresholds, here's where you go for your pricing support. And if it's under a dollar threshold, unless you just break out a certain area, you may not have a dedicated pricer, but you'll have a pricer that works with you. But even if you have a pricer, you as a contracting officer, as a buyer, you still have a responsibility to determine price fair and reasonable before you go final, right? And so this is a core competency that we are going to elevate in our 2025 DAF contracting plan. And so we're introducing three new pricing key result areas. And it's all about, you know, not just finding passionate people, which is if you are trying to find a way to, you know, volunteer for the flight plan, please get with your supervisor and volunteer for one of these new pricing KRs. But it's all going to be about enhancing our pricing capabilities. And it's about our people, the processes, and the tools. And we even have a pricing, you know, center of excellence. And we have identified, self-identified, that we need to spend more time on that. And as I said, we need to elevate it. We need to, as Emeril Lagasse would say, we need to kick it up a notch. And so we need to double down on those core competencies that we need that will help everybody, because it is about the mission and it's about affordability. Because every time we, you know, determine that price fair and reasonable and we have affordable programs, we can turn that money that we do potentially save into more combat capability. And that is how these three new KRs are going to reinforce everything that we're doing for re-optimizing for a great power competition. And I'm really excited about that. And I'm really excited about the potential for helping everyone, you know, on a program, on being able to develop that core capability and make that one of their core competencies where we do have some gaps right now. And not just over relying on certain people, but building up our own competencies at the same time. So I'm super thrilled about that.
Yeah, all right. No, man, that makes all the sense in the world. I know we have the cohort class there at UNCG Chapel Hill. I had the privilege of going to that. Again, a large emphasis on pricing there. And then at George Mason, right? Another CDE course, focus on pricing as well. So it's great to see these things incorporated in the flight plan, get those tools out for, you know, and you don't have to be the pricer on a $1 billion project. You can benefit at the lower level, getting that fair and reasonable price and defending your position. So yeah, great stuff there. And then you mentioned earlier, we're going to carry over some objectives, right? Year to year. We often do that for good reason. Can you think of a couple or share with us a couple that are going to carry over from last year into this year?
Yeah. So, and I want to talk a little bit about that. So what I said, you know, is sometimes you can say, I'm done, I'm finished. There's, I got no more to give. And that is where the communication, like I call it strategic communications and messaging. I know last week I sent out our strategic communications and messaging guidance after our August board of directors. And I wanted, you know, when we're there, when we have our 27 senior contracting officials all in the same room, and then we have our champions, we have our ELA lines of effort champions, and we have our objective leads, and we have our key result champions and leads, and they're taking notes and they're listening. But the net, you know, after we adjourn the BOD, you have to go back. Our SCOs have to go back and share that information with their workforce. And so we have developed our communications and messaging guidance, or short is the CMG, to be more strategic on what we share. And that, you know, so we give a couple weeks from when the mini bot adjourns and our SCOs will have their meetings and share that with their senior leads, but really about getting it out to their workforce. And that communication link, you know, you said earlier, what do you know? Who needs to know it? Have you told him? If not, what is your plan? When you know about it, but you talk to somebody who's next to you, or it could even be a new employee who we've just onboarded and brought in to the contracting family, how do they have awareness? And this is where some of these carryover objectives are going. And it's more about making sure that we have hit the mark on the awareness. If you don't know about it, you know, that's an issue. We've self-identified that as making sure that the marketing or our strategic communications are as good as they can be or even better. And we have to enhance those. And then understanding, alignment, prioritization, and simplification. If we're not simple and folks don't understand it, it doesn't matter if you're the smartest person in the room, Rob. If everybody else doesn't understand, you know, where we're going, then we also are carrying that over so that we can be more deliberate about helping people understand and the education. And then sometimes we don't have the training. And so, you know, even if everybody listened to this podcast, and that would be great, but the education and training tail that comes with some of our key results is really what helps it then be sustainable. And so it's not just a one-time thing. And, you know, this is really our carryover objectives are really where we get to identify the difference between the chef and the recipe. And it truly is that recipe that can help us still allow for tailorability, right? We all make chocolate chip cookies differently, but just that key recipe on some of our key results so that everybody has a starting point or a baseline. It doesn't necessarily have to be a best practice, but it's that, where do I start? And then how do I tailor it to my portfolio? That's where the awareness, understanding, and application are coming into play. And so we've chosen to do some of that so that we're going to be deeper and really go after that sustainment phase, which in our acquisitions, we know, right? That's the tail for sustainment, that ONS, operations, sustainments, and maintenance. That's the hardest part. That's where we spend a lot of our money. And so we want to invest early so that our return on investment in the end, which is our people's knowledge and their skill set, and then again, that ability and awareness that we've really elevated that to a new level.
No, absolutely, ma'am. And just, I mean, I have a couple examples from our office there at the digital division, risk-based contract closeout tool, and this year, the ULO tool, right? The purpose of those tools are to identify expiring and canceling funds. So on average, very sad but true, the Air Force loses $800 million a year because we let funds expire or cancel, and we can't use them for anything. So these tools are great. We've made an investment. We've got these tools out there, but the carryover piece of it is now we need folks to use it, and then we can maybe chip away at that $800 million, right? If we could even cut that in half, That's $400 million going back to current day projects instead of using current day money to pay older bills. So just an example on that of the importance of carrying these things over. We don't just, you know, develop the tool, put it on a shelf and, you know, as you say, kind of admire it, right? Let's put these things to use and, you know, up our communication plan.
And can I say one thing about that one real quick, Rob, because I love how you brought that one in as an example. And what was really cool about the both the risk-based contract closeout and the ULO tool going after that unliquidated obligations was that it helped us, again, prioritize. And so everybody knows you have to do contract closeout. Everybody knows that you award a contract, you're going to have to close it someday. But when you're dealing with expiring or canceling funds, and we partnered with the FM community and our comptrollers, if you don't know which ones to go after first, it's so overwhelming. And so you don't know where to start. And so those tools helped us prioritize what to go after first and what we actually had an opportunity of getting the money back so that we could redistribute it or reallocate it across the Department of the Air Force. And that's why these tools were so phenomenal. So it wasn't just about saving the money. It was about doing it at the right time so that we could even reuse it.
Right. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. And it'll be interesting. Hopefully we can see that $800 million threshold that's kind of been our average the last several years dive down. And then we can really prove that, you know, yeah, those tools are absolutely beneficial, not just for prioritizing closeout, but as you mentioned, you know, saving dollars along the way as well. And then just another example as a follow-on or a carryover objective is DATE, right? The Digital Acquisition Tools Environment, which again is on Air Force Contracting Central, a compository of these digital tools that have been evaluated and vetted and graded. And then you even mentioned the pricing tools coming around next year. That's, you know, this will be the home for those. But again, we've developed it, and it's one thing, okay, we developed it, we've had that space on Contracting Central, but unless folks know about it, unless they know, hey, let's go look at the existing tools, and that might save us a starting point about before we develop something else that may already exist. So it's just, again, it kind of falls in that whole collaboration space, sharing what you know, letting others have access to that. So again, I think that DATE, that Digital Acquisition Tools Environment, is another great carryover objective where we can just kind of up our game and expand it a little bit in communication and marketing, right? It's one thing to have the tools out there, but it's another thing if folks know where they are and know the benefit of using them.
So. Totally agree. And there's 45 tools already that are out there that were evaluated, approved, and existing. And goodness sakes, if somebody is thinking that, you know, doesn't know about it, as you said, and then they are spending their time, you know, trying to recreate something, it's not just duplication of effort, it's also time that they could have been spent on something new that they also thought was important, but they didn't have time to go after yet because they thought this was the priority and it already exists. So I just love how folks are going out there and you know, what do we said is like, what was your observation is go after the gold first, right? They get gold medals. The Olympics just happened. So let's not lose our Olympic fever.
Right. Yeah. And a big shout out to a gentleman in our office named Justin Lyles. He was the action officer on the DATE KR last year. So big shout out to Justin. He, you know, gets these tools vetted and evaluated and posted. So a lot of work there. So good.
Thank
big
you,
shout
Justin.
Out to Justin.
Thank you, Justin.
Okay. And then, Matt, here's one still kind of on along the flight plan discussion. But last year, I believe for the first time, the board of directors meeting was you opened that up to anyone who wanted to attend virtually. And that was really very insightful. Do you intend on providing that opportunity again this year?
Absolutely. Yes. So we're going to get out the agenda. Well, it'll be on Teams again, and that allows folks to come in and observe and listen, and they'll know, you know, again, where they have passion in certain areas of the agenda or certain areas of the flight plan that they're most interested in, or as mission needs and, you know, schedules kind of allow, you could be there for all 2 days. But, you know, I want to be honest, it is about making sausage, right? And we're, but we like it. I mean, again, I'll go back to the chef and the recipe. So be a part of it. And then when your senior contracting officials come back and they say, this is what we discussed at the board of directors, you'll be, oh, yeah, I remember that part or the conversation. Or you could go back in and listen, because we should be taping them this year, you know, recording them at the same time. Sometimes the audio doesn't work that well, and we're trying to be very mindful about speaking up and making sure we use the microphones properly. But yes, we're going to open it up to all, almost nearly 9,000 of our mission-focused business leaders. And just as your mission and times allow, no matter what time zone you're on, you can come in and observe and listen and be a fly on the wall if you wanted to.
Right. Yes, ma'am. Again, thanks for opening that up. I don't think, you know, I believe last year was the first time we offered that opportunity. And again, if folks didn't take advantage of it last year, really encourage them. I mean, just call in and, you know, as your schedule permits, like you said, but you'll be amazed at how, you know, just the interaction. A lot of folks think, okay, the decision comes out and that's our marching orders. There's a lot of discussion that goes into those decisions that are being made. So I really encourage folks to get a glimpse into, as you call it, the sausage making of the flight plan, if you will.
Yeah. And it, I mean, our senior contracting officials and our division chiefs and everybody who is participating, they're so passionate about our workforce. And that's what is so exciting to me is just how much that passion and taking care of our workforce, how much that comes out during the 2 days that we're together.
All right. Excellent, ma'am. Well, let's pivot a little bit. Another huge area of interest that we've heard a lot about over the past several months, re-optimization. So along with great power competition, DAP has announced efforts to reshape, refocus, re-optimize to ensure continued supremacy. So a total of 24 organizational changes across the department, with integration being a major theme as we see new organizations such as the Integrated Capabilities Command and the Integration Development Office. Can you share any insight into what changes we can expect to see across DAP contracting and when those changes might be implemented?
Yeah, so our the changes that are coming with just big picture acquisition and with DAF contracting, a lot of, you know, as you said, with the Integrated Capabilities Command and Integration Development Office, I feel like the word of the year is clearly integration. And, you know, we talk about integrating all the time, and I am a huge proponent of collaboration and information sharing, which is why, again, you know, what do you know, who needs to know it, and have you told them? But if you're not integrating, what happens on the other end is your outcomes are sub-optimized. And in acquisition, even though the acquisition authority, so the senior acquisition executive, my boss, Mr. Andrew Hunter, that is not changing. He remains the SAE on the Air Force side. And then Honorable Calvelli, Mr. Calvelli, is the SAE on the Space Force side. That does not change. And then the acquisition flow for me as the head of the contracting agency, as the HCA, that is how our senior contracting officials get their acquisition authority. But for integrating, we need to do that a little bit better. And the secretary, you know, said it when he was putting out, you know, just kind of like, what are the big themes of why we're optimizing and re-optimizing for great power competition? And it's not just to deter our adversaries, but it's over 20 years, we have, you know, focused a lot on the efficiency and at times, oftentimes, at the expense of effectiveness. And so effectiveness, mission capability has to be premier as we move forward into, you know, future wars and preparing to fight those wars and making sure that we have the weapon systems and the capabilities that we need, not necessarily the platforms. the Integrated Capabilities Command is going to be tying together, you know, the requirements, the joint force, the Air Force force structure of what we need to look like. And that is with the capabilities that we need for the combatant commands. The Integration Development Office out of Air Force Materiel Command, AFMC, under General Richardson, that IDO will be intimately communicated and connected with the ICC. In addition, the MAGCOMs, the major commands, will also be contributing to that, as today, like in their A58s and how they, you know, strategically planned and how they resource. And so this is elevating the way that the Department of the Air Force integrates. And, you know, I don't want to oversimplify it, but that integration is so important. And we have examples of where program teams have integrated with the user community and the end user, the warfighter or the operator, very well. And then we have other examples where that integration, as I said earlier, was suboptimized, and it was more of almost like the email way of communicating, right? Like back and forth versus sitting down in a room together so that we talk and we know that we're on the same page and we know what the requirement owner needs. And then we put that acquisition strategy together to give that requirement owner what they need in the fastest way possible, in the most, most innovative method, and about the efficiency and speed, but it's really about the outcome. And so what the Air Force contracting is doing is we are bringing in integrating SCOs to help with the Integrated Capabilities Command and the Integration Development Office, but also as the AFMC stands up their new integrating PEOs, the new integrating program executive officers, and our SCOs will be integrating more transparently and more cross-communication and more connectedness across all of those SCOs that today, you know, will report VFR direct to me, but there's been no integration or communication or cross-leveling at the lower levels. And so we're introducing that. It's more than just, you know, communications, more than just information sharing, but it's about transparency and understanding what's going on in different portfolios so that we can, you know, make sure that we're not making the similar mistakes, but more that we're learning from any issues that we've had in the past and that we don't recreate or commit those, you know, mistakes. And that's what I love about, you know, we love experimentation and I actually love failure because I learn from it. And we just want to make sure that we capture the lessons and so that we don't, you know, repeat them, the bad lessons. So we make sure that we're staying on that positive side and that we're allowing, again, that tailorability. So I'm pretty excited about that. We'll be kicking that off in October. We don't want to interfere with end of fiscal year. We don't want people distracted by what are integrating SCOs and what does it mean for me? But the bottom line is that it's, you know, we need to integrate better across the Department of the Air Force contracting enterprise. We need to close that decision. I call it like the OODA loop, observe, orient, decide, act. We need to close that because the faster that we go, the more, yes, efficient we are, but it's really about the effectiveness. And just really, really excited about that. And just, you know, we've been working that with our policy chiefs and with our SCOs so that they understand the why, but also, you know, it's not intended to slow anything down. It's exactly intended to do the opposite because right now when there's missing information or communication gaps, we actually do go slower. And so at the beginning, I think, you know, I say this often, is sometimes you got to go slow to go fast, but we want to be deliberate about where we're going so that everybody knows where we're going. And it's that, how do we improve our integration? And it's exactly what the secretary has asked us to do for reoptimizing for a great power competition. And it's exactly what I've seen from my perspective as the HCA on where we can go to tighten up our integration and to close some of those communication and transparency gaps.
All right. Yeah, great, ma'am. Yeah, and it's very cool. Our listeners might be hearing about the Integrating Senior Contracting Official, probably affectionately known as the ISCO. I imagine that will be the new acronym there, the ISCO, before it even rolls out in October. So they might get a pre-glimpse on that if they happen to tune in and download early. So awesome. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, stay tuned. It's going to be a great year.
Nope. Awesome stuff. So they heard it first here on The Contracting Experience. So we've covered the hard stuff already, ma'am, with updates on the DAF contracting flight plan, the great power competition, and reoptimization. Let's pivot again to maybe the lighter side of the conversation, which I think our listeners might be very interested in. Let's take a look into a day in the life of Major General Ali Trevino. So I've often heard that SES stands for Saturday Evenings and Sundays. Somebody on your staff actually told me that, as in their weekends are usually spent working Saturday evenings and Sundays, hence SES. So is it really that bad? What does a day in the life of Major General Trevino look like? My guess is, my observation, if you will, is maybe 8 to 10 hours of meetings and then another 4 to 5 hours catching up on email and paperwork. Am I close there?
You know, so it's funny because When I first came to SAFAQC, and even my previous experiences at AFICC, sometimes people would comment that the calendar was, you know, pretty packed. But I always think when you have a packed calendar, that means you're getting invited to the meetings that you need to be. And I know I talked about, you know, the integrating SCOs, but if we're not integrating horizontally, we're probably not integrating vertically. And so, yes, I actually, you know, look forward to coming into work. It is a packed calendar, but that just means that we, again, are invited into a lot, which goes back to the high demand, low density of our contracting professionals. And I have found that, especially at the Pentagon, you know, we have an awesome gym, but my day starts early. I blame my husband. You know, he was in the Army for 26 years and he rubbed off on me. I used to be somebody who found time to work out at lunchtime or at the end of the day. And the more, we celebrate our 24-year anniversary this November, but the more he and I were together, the more I realized I kind of morphed into a morning person. And so I get up early so I can have my workout early and then, you know, kind of tackle the day. I do my best thinking in the morning. I think if you are a person who, you know, if you're a night owl, I have two sisters that are night owls and my mom and dad are both night owls. And so I have to figure out the best time to communicate with them. But, you know, what we do on our SAFAQC staff together as a team is really looking at things to make sure that we, the collective we, are never operating in our own stovepipe. We are so good at connecting dots. And I love that as, you know, just kind of being able to represent all of all of you, our DAF contracting community or our DAF contracting family. And I feel like I get to do this. It's such an honor and the day goes by so fast. So I don't spend too much time focused on how packed the calendar is. I just feel like it's an opportunity to close those stovepipes and make sure that we're delivering for the warfighter. So I'm not all rainbows and unicorns all the time, Rob, but I'm not trying to skirt the question, but it's when you love what you do, it's almost like it doesn't feel like work. And I'm glad that at the end of the day, you know, am I tired? Yes. Am I exhausted? Yes. But that means I've given it my all. And the best days are kind of one like that today, where I get to spend time with you and with all of our listeners, because it's like a 5-minute brain break. And yes, I have to think because you're asking me some tough questions, but what an opportunity to be able to share our message and make sure everybody knows where we're going. And, you know, the future fight is going to be through systems of systems, not platforms. And it's how we interoperate together and how we connect. And those that connect and those who do not operate as stovepipes or, you know, operate in those stovepipes that may have, been a sandbox with artificial guardrails before, that's where the beauty is. That's where the magic is. And that's where we don't just prevent problems. We provide solutions. And, you know, it's really the capabilities for warfighter integration. It is unlimited. And just to bring in that unlimited contracting officer more, because you knew I would. But I think we are limitless. I really do.
No, man. Thanks for sharing that. And again, it's absolutely, you practice what you preach, right? I love the passion, the energy, the emphasis on communication. They're not meetings for the sake of meetings. They're opportunities. You are invited because, you know, you have something to share. Your input is valued. And I think that's really the way we need to look at those things, right? They're opportunities. They want us there because we earned a seat at that table. So yeah. Again, excellent. Again, really appreciate you living out what you teach all of us, ma'am. So that's awesome. And then as we kind of wind things down, during your last appearance on the podcast, you shared your experience and struggles with that initial warrant board process. And I think our listeners really appreciated hearing that transparency from a major general, right? The top contracting official in the Department of the Air Force also struggled with what I'm struggling with today. And I think folks really appreciated hearing that. So with that, can you think of another key moment in your career where you can look back and say, wow, I'm grateful for that experience, or wow, I never want to go through that again?
Yeah, there's two things that come to mind. One of them that I never want to go through again, but I'm the one that could make sure that I never go through that again. When I first did earn my warrant, and yes, I failed my first warrant board and I had to go back, and I did way better the second time around. So I just needed that extra time to make sure that I had the judgment and I, you know, knew my, who I could reach back out to and had done a little bit of my own thinking and had the wherewithal to explain my analysis instead of just a kind of checklist in my brain that I forgot and lost my place. My very first source selection, I did not use my lawyer wisely. And we had a non-responsive contractor to a proposal. And instead of getting the non-responsive memorandum, the documentation reviewed by my lawyer and getting that legal sufficiency review, is I just made the call on my own. And so what I never want to go through again is making a call in, again, a stovepipe and not thinking that there were other stakeholders that are there to protect me, but also there to reinforce what I think I know and to give me other viewpoints or perspectives that I may not have thought about. And so that's the first one. And the lesson learned is never go anywhere without your lawyers. The second one was when I was a cadet, and I am talking a basic cadet. I was not even a fourth year cadet at the Air Force Academy yet. It was over the summer during our basic cadet training. They took the entire 1,000 basic cadets in Colorado Springs. It was the Colorado Springs Rodeo. And so we had the opportunity, they lined us all up. We took buses over to rodeo, and I'd never been to a rodeo, so it was pretty cool. But we were over there for a really long time. And I remember as we got off the bus, they had given us $5 or $6. We didn't even have money, but we were over there so long, you know, we knew we were going to have to eat. And then while we were there, you know, and oh, by the way, in 1989, even $5 back then was hard to, you know, get a full meal, right? It wasn't like they had a happy meal for $1.99. I can't even remember what I ate, but I remember I was hungry when I came home. And my roommate and I were walking back to our squadron. We got off the bus, and an upperclassman stopped us along the way. And he said, "How is the rodeo?" And he was so upbeat and happy. And both of us, we looked at him, and not thinking, I remember we kind of both said, "It sucked." And it was rainy, we were hungry, we were there, we were tired. And he just looked at us, and he actually kind of, you know, that was my first attitude adjustment. And he's like, "How dare you? We sent you over there. You were spokespersons to represent the Air Force Academy. You went during your basic cadet training. You went to a rodeo. You got away from the academy, you know, so you weren't in training. And this is in his estimation, you know, basically you saying this is a lost opportunity." And I remember just being dumbstruck and awestruck that he had the gall. And then I kind of stopped myself and said, "Wow, he's right." And again, I was only 17 years old at the time, but I was so focused on me, me, me. And, you know, it took this upperclassman, you know, a five minute training session to change my attitude. But I realized right then and there that we make our own attitude. We make decisions all the time. We, as you said earlier, we can look at a meeting as a grudgery or a drudgery. Oh gosh, a meeting. Or we can change it and be like, "Wow, I got invited to a meeting and look what I contributed today. And I can't even believe I'm in this meeting and look what I get to do." And we get to do this. I mean, I know I've shared that before, but it is fantastic. It's a wonderful opportunity. And do we get it right 100% of the time? Absolutely not. But it's those opportunities that make us even go back and rethink and come up with different solutions or different courses of actions or different options. And that's why I see beauty in failure. I see beauty in a lot of the things that go wrong. I never want things to go wrong and people to get hurt. But when we, you know, have the opportunity to like bring in a contracting professional earlier, bring in our awesome data analysts, bring in our intellectual property cadre, understand the importance of what our special access program community does, just be invited and know that we contribute and that everyone matters and that together we are so much more powerful. But it was that engagement about a rodeo that I just took for granted, and I was so, you know, just not in the moment of what it means to give and be in service for others. And I often look back on that day. I remember my first response, and I just told myself, I was like, "You need to change your attitude, and the way that you change your attitude, that will become your altitude." And I wasn't ever thinking that I would be a two-star general, a one-star general, a colonel. I just wanted to be able to help others. And if you are doing that and helping others and contributing, and please know how valuable you are. I want every single one of our mission-focused business leaders to see how they are making a change and transforming the way that our Air Force looks at force design and experimentation and mission engineering and just, you know, looking at digital acquisition with the way that we can help, you know, our new platform-based perspectives. It's just, it's phenomenal and it's extraordinary and it is a gift. And so that's just one story that just I often go back and reflect on, because I don't ever want to be that 17-year-old who didn't see and come to, you know, a gratitude kind of perspective at the end of the day.
All right, man. No, awesome stuff, ma'am. Again, thanks for being a bit vulnerable with us, sharing a couple really important life lessons there. And I'm sure we've all had moments in our careers or even our personal lives where, you know, looking back on it, we just wish we could have hit that control Z and get a redo. But most of the time, we just need to learn from our mistakes is the important part. Even better if we can learn from other people's mistakes and move on. But again, I think it's also important to share our experiences. So really appreciate you sharing that, both successes and the challenges, because that's really how we all get better. And we've said it a few times already during this episode. What do we know? Who else needs to know it? Have we told them? And if not, let's figure out a plan. So I think we got 30 seconds on the clock, ma'am. Are you up for a lightning round?
I'm up for it, Rob.
Okay. 10 lightning round questions with Major General Trevino. Here we go. Introvert or extrovert?
Ambivert.
All right. Crossword puzzle or Sudoku?
Crossword puzzle.
Steak or seafood?
Ooh, that's hard.
You are a foodie.
Seafood. But, all right. Camping? Oh, definitely filet mignon.
Okay, there you go. Camping or glamping?
Glamping. I've done enough camping.
Paper book or ebook?
Ebook and magazines. I love them.
Excellent. Bowling or putt-putt?
Ooh, putt-putt. My back doesn't hurt as much at the end of the time.
I hear you. Sunrise or sunset?
Sunrise. I'm up early.
Excellent. You gave us a clue on that one. Dogs or cats?
Believe it or not, I just found out I'm allergic to both, but I had a cat for 18 years and I love dogs, but I will say cats.
Alrighty. Classic rock or country music?
Country music, and I love a good fusion mix.
Excellent. And last one, sweet treats or salty snacks?
Ooh, that's really hard. I don't know if I can pick one. I would say both equal opportunist.
All righty. Excellent, ma'am. Thanks for playing along in the lightning round there. Ma'am. Thank you so much again for sharing your experiences and insights on The Contracting Experience. This has been a great conversation. I'm grateful you could join us. On behalf of The Contracting Experience podcast, all of our listeners and subscribers, thank you so much for joining us today. As always, it is a pleasure having you. And thank you to all of our podcast listeners, followers, and subscribers. If you have any feedback, suggestions for topics, or future guests you would like to hear on the podcast, you can submit those via email to thecontractingexperience@gmail.com. As a reminder, you can subscribe to The Contracting Experience podcast from any of your podcast listening platforms. Be sure to subscribe to receive updates and automatic downloads so you don't miss a single episode. I'm your host, Rob Lorton, from the AFMC Contracting Digital Division, and I hope you can join us again on our upcoming episodes. Until then, stay tuned and stay connected.